Tomorrow is Election Day, and if the pre-election polls are to be believed, this contest looks like a dead heat. With Democrats hoping to hold the Senate and take control of the House, President Bush has been on a marathon campaign swing trying to push the Congress into Republican hands. NPR's Cokie Roberts and NPR national political correspondent Mara Liasson join me now. Good morning.
Good morning, Bob.
According to some polls, President Bush's approval rating is the highest of any president since World War II. As he leads his party into the election, are there Senate races where that could make a difference?
He sure hopes so. He's on the road. Today, Senate races in Missouri, Arkansas, Texas. Yesterday, Minnesota, South Dakota. He's practically set up camp in South Dakota trying to win that Senate race for the Republicans. And North Carolina, Georgia, Missouri, all races that could be close or get close, where he's spent a considerable amount of time. I think it's fair to say, though, Mara, that the governor of Florida is the place where he hopes to have the most influence. The Republicans are very keen not to have Jeb Bush lose. I think, though, basically what the president is doing is backstopping what could have been a Democratic sweep given the economy and bad economic times. And he seems to have done that in several polls over the weekend and in one today by the Gallup organization, what we call the generic ballot. Would you prefer the Democrats or the Republicans to control Congress? The Republicans have been up. In Gallup today, it's 51-45 Republican.
That's right. And as Cokie said, the president has been spending especially a lot of time in the places where he personally recruited these Senate candidates. In South Dakota, he convinced John Thune to run, and he has been there five times, which is a record. No president in history has visited that state as much. And I think in some states where he is extremely popular, especially in the South, it might be able to make a difference. He's not spending as much time in New Jersey, for instance, although that race certainly looks like it's going to go to the Democrat now. But even though historically presidents don't usually have coattails in these midterms, this president has very high approval ratings. The White House feels they're well used to energize the faithful and to try to get Republican turnout up.
Is there a downside to the president waging this kind of campaign?
Sure.
Well, if he doesn't win, it's going to look like it's a reflection on him. And some people feel that he's been doing so much of this. I mean, Clinton was considered to be the campaigner in chief, but President Bush has really campaigned in much, much more than President Clinton. And it does take away some of the above the fray aura that he has. Someone referred to him now. He's just the political hack in chief. But certainly the White House feels the upsides are higher. In other words, if you've got this 62% approval rating, you might as well use it. And the Democrats are trying to pull out the biggest guns they have, too. They've got former President Clinton and Al Gore in Florida this weekend.
But, you know, it's interesting. Once everybody comes back from an election like this, if, in fact, the president has been in states and he's also gone into individual congressional districts, today's going to be in Illinois. That's for a House race. He and the person that he campaigns for loses. The other guy then has a very different view of the president. They're not looking over their shoulders, scared to death of him the way they have been since September 11th, thinking, gee, he's more popular with my constituents than I am. If he's been there and your opponent loses, you have a sense of independence from the president. There's also a sense of, hey, he was in my district and he campaigned against me. I don't like that very much. And there's a certain attitude of wanting to get him.
Polls show voters worried about terrorism in Iraq and equally worried about the economy and health care. But at the moment, Democrats don't seem to be able to take advantage of those concerns.
No, they don't. This has happened before, Bob, where polls show that Democrats have an advantage on all of the issues across the board, but they don't seem to make significant gains in the House. And some Democrats think one of the reasons that they haven't been able to do that this year is that Democrats haven't had a clear message. There are a lot of divisions in the Democrats' ranks. Many of them voted for tax cuts, the president's big tax cuts. A lot of them were with him on the war against Iraq. Even corporate corruption, which is an issue that the Democrats had very high hopes for, that it would work for them, has fizzled, partly because we haven't had any recent corporate implosion since the summer, but also because Republicans have become very adept at countering Democratic advantages with legislation of their own, whether it's tougher penalties for corporate executives who defraud their investors or whether it's passing a prescription drug plan in the House. That really mutes the issue advantage for the Democrats.
And the Democrats don't seem to be able to get any traction in convincing people that they have a plan to fix things. In a New York Times poll yesterday, almost 40% said neither party had any plan to come back to Congress and do anything about the economy. And in terms of how they viewed parties, it was almost identical, favorable, not favorable. About 55% of the people said they had a favorable view of the Democratic Party and the Republican Party. And about 35% of the people said they didn't have a favorable view of either party. So it's very muddied.
Well, how are they doing with the argument that you can't have the Republicans running the whole shebang, both houses of Congress and the White House?
Well, voters in polls say that they like divided government. In other words, they want a check and a balance. But it is kind of an abstract argument to make to vote for a Democrat precisely because we shouldn't have one party in control of all the houses. I think that's a tough argument to make. It certainly is made by Democrats who say they need to have a Democratic House to check the president. But I don't know if individual voters vote on those terms.
It could make a difference in a couple of House races. You have people like Connie Morella in Maryland, who represents a Democratic district, which she has done for many terms, that's been redistricted to put more Democrats in. And almost the entire campaign against her is that she will vote for the Republican leadership of the House, and therefore she shouldn't be reelected. Now, she says, and this is an even harder campaign to sort of take into the voting booth, she says, look, the Democrats are not going to win the House anyway, so you might as well have a moderate like me inside the councils of the Republican Party. Same arguments going on in Iowa with Jim Leach, a longtime member who looks like he's in trouble. But it is true that twice as many people say that they would vote to help Bush, that their vote for Congress would be to help Bush, as say their vote for Congress would be to check Bush. But most say that it doesn't make any difference one way or the other. And I think that's by and large true, that people vote for individuals for Congress.
What about the get out the vote message? Does either party seem to have an advantage there?
Well, you know, historically, Bob, Republicans have benefited in a low turnout election because their voters who are more educated and affluent tend to turn out. But Democrats have become much, much better at actually turning out their voters. Their get out the vote operations are very professional, and it's worked for them. Certainly in 2000, they did much better than the Republicans. But the Republicans went to school on the Democrats after that election. They formed this group called the 72-hour task force to figure out what they needed to do in the final hours of the campaign. And they say that this year they're going to be competitive in get out the vote operations. And we're going to find out on Wednesday who did better, because that's the kind of thing that's very hard to poll.
It's very interesting. They're almost wide-eyed about it. Hey, we have people actually going door-to-door to get out the vote. You would think this was elementary.
Are we going to have winners? Are we going to have what we had 2 years ago?
I think we're going to have a lot of fuzzy campaigns, but particularly my home state of Louisiana has a runoff for both the Senate and one House seat in December, so we might not know the winners there till December. But also, the Democrats very proudly say they have 10,000 lawyers on the street tomorrow.
Scary.
And that, yes, and that they will be out there challenging in every polling place that they think they need to make a challenge.
Thank you both very much, NPR's Cokie Roberts and NPR National Political Correspondent Mara Liasson.